I spent the first 12 years of my life in Cleveland, Ohio, in an all-black world. My family, my neighbors, my teachers, my classmates, my friends, every person I had any meaningful contact with until that point was black. So when my parents announced we were moving to a nearly all-white suburb called Beechwood, I was excited about living in a bigger house, but worried about how I would be greeted by my new middle school classmates. I worried they would make fun of me. My brown skin, my wiry hair, my large dark eyes. I worried about my way of speaking, my cadence, my word choice, my voice. Yet when I arrived that fall, white students went out of their way to welcome me. They introduced themselves. They invited me to eat with them at lunch. They showed me around the school and loaded me up with details on the dizzying array of activities now open to me. It was what my parents had always dreamed of. I could sing in the choir or act in the play. I could study sign language or learn gymnastics. I could try out for the volleyball team or run for a seat on the student council. My classmates seemed genuinely interested in helping me transition to this new place. I was grateful, and yet I struggled to make new friends. I'd call students by the wrong name, walk past a classmate in the hall without speaking, fail to remember the girl I'd shared a lunch table with in the cafeteria the day before. They didn't seem to hold it against me. They understood that I was meeting people every day and it was a lot to take in. But I knew there was something more going on. Every day, I was confronted with a mass of white faces that I could not distinguish from one another. I didn't know how to do it or even where to start. I had no practice recognizing white faces. They all looked alike to me. I could describe in detail the face of the black woman I happened to pass in a shopping mall, but I could not pick out from a crowd the white girl who sat next to me in English class every day. I found myself constantly seduced by the easiest way to sort people. I would hold on to the fact that the girl in the red sweater said this and the girl in the gray sweatshirt said that. This helped me to track a conversation in the moment, but I would be at a loss again the very next day. I tried training myself to pay attention to features that I never needed to notice in my black neighborhood. Eye color, various shades of blonde hair, freckles. I tried remembering the most distinctive feature about each person I encountered, but all the faces would ultimately blend together again in my mind. As time went on, I worried that my new friends would begin to drift away. Who would want to be friends with a girl who had to be reminded to whom she was talking from one day to the next? Stripped of this most basic skill, I became a different person in my new neighborhood. Awkward, uncertain, hesitant, withdrawn. I was afraid of making a mistake, of embarrassing myself, or hurting the feelings of people I'd grown to like. By springtime, whenever I saw girls whispering among themselves, I'd wonder whether their patience was finally wearing thin. Are they talking about me? I'd sidle over there to try to join the conversation, but they'd fall silent whenever I showed up. I was relieved when one of the popular girls invited me to lunch at a restaurant one weekend. When I walked in, she was sitting at a table with a group of girls I didn't recognize, until they all yelled out, "Happy birthday!" I scanned their faces and realized that these were the classmates I'd seen whispering in the hall, planning a surprise party for the new girl who still hadn't managed to get their names right. They brought gifts that reflected touchstones in their lives, including albums by musicians I'd never heard of, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel. I was moved beyond words by the gesture. No one had ever planned a surprise party for me. But when we finished the cake, hugged goodbye, and parted ways, I still was not confident I could tell those faces apart. The irony of that school year always troubled me. I worried about being ostracized because I wasn't one of them. But I was the one stumbling over our racial differences. They wanted to connect, and so did I. But I had suddenly acquired a deficiency that they were not aware of, and that I did not understand. Decades later, I would realize that I was not alone.